It's a wonderful thing. But with much growth comes great challenges. That's what we talked about last week. And we talked about the servant leaders, the ministry leaders, how the church began in Acts chapter 2. At the preaching of the apostles were told by Jesus to stay in Jerusalem, and they were going to be empowered to be witnesses of Jesus Christ, to preach. And we saw how challenges developed in the church as they were being persecuted. And then you hear about the apostles were the ones leading that church. You never heard about elders yet. But later on, as time progressed, you hear that there's another group of people whom the Bible calls elders, and they were part of the leadership of that church. Churches are led by elders. And today, you can go to any church, Christian church, Episcopalian church, any church, and you hear the word elders around still. But the thing is, yes, you know that they're called elders, but what do they do? I mean, perhaps that might be your question this morning. If you're asking that, you're in the right place, because we're going to go through scripture to find out what their function as elders is. In most churches, like I said, a lot of people might not have a clear-cut understanding of what the role or function of elders is. Now, in Acts 11, 29 and 30, we're told that Paul and Barnabas were going to Jerusalem. They were already in a church in Antioch, which is Syria today, modern-day Syria. They needed to go to Jerusalem because the Jerusalem people were going through a famine. And he says that they sent Saul and Barnabas, to see the elders of the church in Jerusalem. When you read that, you already realize that they had elders already. By chapter 11 of the book of Acts, you hear that they had elders. And Melissa, I believe, is helping me out there with it. So the church in Jerusalem had elders, Barnabas and Saul, which is Paul, took an offering to the elders in Judea so that they would help the believers in Judea who were going through a famine. So you hear the word elders right there in chapter 11. Later on, when Paul began to plant churches, in chapter 13, he and Barnabas, they're sent off to go and plant churches. They were traveling all over the place. And every time they planted a church, they would stay there a year or two or three. And then they appoint elders. And the elders, then they would take care. They were the preachers of those churches. You can read that on Acts 14, 21 and 23. Now, it's interesting. If we talked about church planting model, the church planting model will be whoever planted the church will be the one responsible to select the elders. In a church planting model, it was like that. Paul and Barnabas will go and plant a church, and then they will appoint elders eventually. And then they will move on to the next location, and there they will appoint elders with prayer and fasting. You can read more about that in the letters that Paul wrote to Titus and Timothy, where he told them, appoint elders. And there in those letters, he gives them the next, the qualifications for such leaders. He told them, this is what you are to look for in those men, according to the pattern that he gave him in Titus and Timothy. Why? Because Titus and Timothy were younger preachers, and they were in charge of certain churches. So they said, look for men that have these qualifications, these qualities. Chapter 15, Paul and Barnabas, from Syria, they go to Jerusalem. Long journey. They go there because there's a theological problem already in the church. There was a group of people saying that you were not saved unless you were circumcised. They belonged to the Judaism. They belonged to the Pharisees, and they became Christians, but they could not let go of their traditions. And they said that Gentiles are not saved unless they are circumcised. Paul and Barnabas got into a lot of dispute and arguments with those people. And finally, it says that the church in Syria, in Antioch, decided to send them to Jerusalem to see the apostles and elders about that issue. Chapter 15, verse 2. It says right that this brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute and debate with them. I know some of you sometimes don't like dispute and debates. Sometimes you have to debate the word of God with other people that want to manipulate it. And there's no other way around. Now, we talked about on our Friday night. You don't debate with people who do not know the Lord, unbelievers, but we're talking about these are Christian people that they thought that they had it right, and that they were saying, you are not saved, salvation. They were adding something else to salvation, so the apostles had to come and say, no, that's not what Jesus taught us. So it says Paul and Barnabas got into a dispute, sharp dispute and debate with them. So Paul and Barnabas were appointed, along with some other believers, to go to Jerusalem to see the apostles and elders about that question. What was the question? That salvation now was added, that you needed to be saved, you needed to be circumcised. Nowhere in the Bible says that, but that was the theological issue that was happening. And therefore, they needed to see the apostles. They needed to see the leaders of the church to deal with that. When there are questions, when there are ideologies out there, that they try to make their way into the church, the leaders have to be strong leaders to deal with that, because if not, our church become watered down gospel churches, prosperity gospel churches, that, you know, it's like Joel Osteen type of churches, just like a great speaker, but you don't hear Jesus anywhere. And it's almost like to make you feel better. Really? Is that what Jesus said? I'm going to make you feel better. In fact, he says you're going to be persecuted. There's nothing better about being persecuted, you know what I mean? So it's like, strong leaders are needed to be able to refute false ideologies, false teachings. And you see, they went to Jerusalem because the Antioch church was new. They said, okay, this is big. We got to go see the apostles. We got the apostles and elders of the church, and then we're going to sit down with them and we're going to discuss it. So you hear about elders as leaders in the church. Now, the question is, who were they? What did they do? Let's go with me, Acts chapter 20 now. This text is awesome because this text gives you three words for elders. And when you analyze the meaning of those words, it gives you exactly what their function in the church is. Acts 20. As Paul is heading down, he's going to Jerusalem. And he wanted to see the elders of the Ephesian church. So he sent for them so that he can finally give them the last instruction, because there's no way that Paul was going to see them again. Chapter 20 of Acts, you have it. Let's just read verses 17 through following. Luke is the writer. Luke is traveling with Paul. And then he says, from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, you know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have told you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if I only may finish the race, complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. 28 is the verse we're going to be really looking at today. Then he said, keep watch over yourselves and of the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Chapter 20, like I said, if you want to really know what elders did, this is the perfect text to understand who elders were. Three words for elders, and you hear those words today, but you didn't know that that's where they got them from. The first one we have, when it says, verse 17, for Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. The elders. Now, the word elders here, if you have, you can look it up in Google or lexicon. Is the word presbyteros. That's when you get churches called Presbyterian churches. When you hear that Presbyterian churches, that means that they're led by elders. Presbyteros is the word. So when he says like he sent for the presbyter, for the elders of the church, and what the word really means is older, elder, experienced, wise. You know, in Jewish culture, when you were elder, I mean, usually you had to be over 30 to be an elder in the Jewish culture, but you were appointed as elder because you have experience, you have wisdom. You go through the Old Testament, you always hear that the elders were at the gate, and they had to do with the city council. Today we don't call them elders, they might be city councilmen, and they were at the gates, and they educated the people in matters of the law. These are the elders we're talking about. I mean, I give you Proverbs 31, 22, Ruth 4, 2. You hear about elders that were at the gate. When you came to a town, the first people you will encounter were the elders of that town. Indians have what you call the chiefs. You know, and even they have some kind of like eldership, leadership. The chief is on top. They have a hierarchy. But you get that idea that, you know, they were in charge of the laws. They knew the regulations of the laws. The elders did that. And that's the word that we find here in verse 17. He sent for the elders, presbyteros, because they were the leaders of the church. Now, the other two words about elders, they're found in chapter 28. So, you see, Paul has already given them instruction. You see, you know how I lived when I was with you. You know, I preached to you from house to house. I did those things. Why is he saying that to them? Because he realizes there might be a chance that we might not see each other again. And I just want to remind you, I'm going there. I don't know what's going to happen to me. I only know that the Spirit warns me that imprisonment and hardships are waiting for me. But I don't care because I consider my life worth nothing to me as long as I can finish my race. The race of testifying to God's grace. And then he gives these men, these leaders, the final instructions. And then he says, verse 28, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. The other word that we have for elders is when he says, be on your guard. Or the translation says, be on your guard for yourselves and the flock of which the Holy Spirit made you. NIV says overseers. The word for overseers is episkopos, where you get churches called Episcopalian. You understand what that means? That's because those churches, Episcopalian churches, they also have elders. They might call him a bishop, episkopos. That's the exact word for elders. And so that's what you have here. He says, like, be overseers. The Holy Spirit has made you overseer. Be on your guard for yourselves and the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer. Episcopal, the word means guardian, watchman, overseeing. You know, when you're overseeing certain things, why were they supposed to oversee the affairs of the church? Like, there was a theological issue, you had to deal with that, oversee that, be watchful. But the first thing Paul said to them, you got to watch over yourself. Be on your guard about yourself before you can be on your guard about the church of God. So they must first be watchers of their own lives, how you live your lives. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock. See, Paul highlights the qualifications of these leaders when he wrote to 1 Timothy 3:1-15. He says, men worthy of respect, able to teach, of good testimony, one that rules his house well. And yes, you're already thinking, it was men. Some people, did they have women elders? Yes, too. If you were an elder, you were married, your wife also has some qualifications because it was a team effort. It was a team, and sometimes like, oh, I mean, the whole qualification that Paul gave, those men were married, there was certain expectations for their wives as well when you go through the list in 1 Timothy and also in Titus. It's like the minister, sometimes like it's a team. You know, it's like, it's not just like one person. I mean, you cannot do a lot just one person. So you can read, and we have a pamphlet here so that you can read all the qualifications. When Paul wrote to Timothy and Titus, this is what I want you to look for in certain individuals. Not everybody can be an elder. They need to have these qualifications, he said to them. Because, why? Because you have to watch over yourself. Watch, how about your life? It's reflecting Jesus. Men worthy of respect, that people respect them, that people see them as leaders. To be an elder is not a title, my brothers and sisters. A lot of times people think because you're an elder that you have this title. It's not a title, it's a function. And if people don't see you as one, perhaps because you cannot be one then. He says, keep watch over yourselves, your life. I mean, he told Timothy, watch your teaching, and watch your life and your doctrine closely. Watch how you live your life. So that what you're teaching is not stained by how you live. Elders are to watch their lives as Christians, for they must be give an account to God in how they walk. And also, the elders, we have to give an account to God in how we live His church. Keep watch over yourself and over the flock of which the Holy Spirit made you overseers. He made you guardians of His church, and one day He's going to come and say, what did you do? Did you create this mess in the church because you didn't have the guts to step up as a leader? I mean, we're talking, you're still going to be saved, but perhaps you might lose some reward because how you led. And the Bible is very specific. We who teach will be judged more severely. What if we're teaching people the wrong stuff? And now they're following us as leaders. That's what Paul addressed. Guard yourself. Guard yourself and then guard the flock of which God made you guardians. It's not guardians of the galaxy. But you're guardians of the church of God. The guardians. We have guardians in this church. Because sometimes, what else does it need to guard for the church? There's going to be false teaching out there. Look what he says in verse 29. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. You got to watch for that. You got to stay sharp. You got to be guardians when somebody tries to infiltrate the church with false doctrines or ideology. It's even from among your number. Men will arise and destroy the truth. What Paul is saying, watch it, the wolves might already be in church. They might already be in church, and you have to watch for that. Because sometimes they're just waiting for an opportunity to come in, try to distort the truth. And as leaders, you have to be strong enough to say, that's not going to happen here. As leaders, that's what the elders are. Be watchful of yourself and of the flock of God. Because, even when I leave, savage wolves will come. And guess what? They're not going to take it easy on you. They will arise and destroy the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you, night and day, even with tears. Elders, overseers, keep watch. The overseers is to make sure that the Church of Christ continues to proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ. That we don't adulterate the gospel, that we don't make it palatable. Like, we think we need to just change certain things to make it palatable for people to take it. Leaders, you have to step up on the truth. Because Jesus himself says that he is the truth and he will set us free. Overseers have to be on their guard for the false teachings, false ideologies. Titus 1:9 says that an elder must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as he has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine or sound teaching, and refute those who oppose it. What Titus is saying is like, an elder is somebody who encourages, but he also refutes false teaching. It's somebody who contests false teaching. So elder has to be able to do both. To encourage, but also say, no, that's not of God, that's false. And it's going to require that you know your word. I mean, how are you going to be able to distinguish what's false from truth? And especially in today's society where it might look like that, but it ain't. Because, there's so many gospels out there, even in the time of Paul, that they were twisting something. It sounds like the whole idea of Jesus. A lot of people believe Jesus was the Son of God, but they might not believe that he was God. But, they believe Jesus was just a prophet. Or just a great teacher who taught us how to be spiritually advanced. But what does the scripture say? And that's what, elder has to be able to debate when necessary with people that want to manipulate what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. So this is an arduous task when you think about it. It says, yes, you'll be able to encourage people, but also you have to refute whoever tried to attack the church with different ideologies. Oversee encourages, but also refute or contests. Now the other word for elders is also in the same verse 28. Let's go back with me in verse 28. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. And then the next lines read, be shepherds of the church of God. If you have a different translation, we'll say, shepherd the church of God. Shepherd the ecclesia. Now that word shepherd here, and you have, is the word poimene, which is shepherd or pastor. Also, the word carries the idea to tend for, to take care of something. So we already saw the overseeing part. You take care. Now, the shepherd of the church of God, by guiding it and protecting it. Now, shepherd, where do they get that idea? But all through the Bible, you hear about there were shepherds and sheep. The whole idea of the flock of God. So God called so many people that what they were doing first was shepherding. Moses, David, some of the prophets were shepherds. They knew exactly what God told them and what God meant when he says, be shepherds of the church now. Just like you took care of those sheep, you guided them when they were hungry. You took them to green pastures. When the wolves came, you were there. You didn't run away from danger. David says, you know, when a lion or a bear came and took one of my sheep, I ran after him and choked it down. You don't mess with my sheep. That's what David said. So shepherds, elders are called shepherds to shepherd the flock of God. I cannot help but think about Psalm 23. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. And I kind of got the, you don't see the color very well. But listen to the words of the psalmist. He says, because he's my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pasture. That's what a shepherd does. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
Hallelujah.
So it's amazing. I mean, that's what the shepherd... I mean, what a better opportunity for us elders in our church to realize, if I want to be a great shepherd, so look how David says, you're my shepherd, I know you're going to provide for my needs. You're my shepherd, you're going to guide me where there's food. If you're my shepherd, you restore my soul. And then you lead me to the right path. That's what the shepherds did in those days. And I feel secure. I'm not even afraid because you are with me. Whatever dangers might be out there, if you are right here, bring it. Because you are and then we hear about Jesus later on in the New Testament, John chapter 10. He says, I am, one of the I ams of Jesus. What did he say? I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Now, I know as elders, sometimes there might be people you might not be willing to give your life to because, you know, let's be real. Not everybody, you might not get along with everybody. I mean, there might be some that you were willing to give your life for, but there might be others like, well, Lord, you can take them anytime. I mean, think about. But Jesus said, I give my life for the sheep. He says, when the wolf come, I don't run away. I stay there protecting my sheep. That's what the shepherds did. So Jesus doesn't run away at the sight of danger. He lays down his life for the sheep. He knows his sheep, he says, and the sheep follow his voice. So a shepherd, you have people that follow your voice. They respect you in that regard. If you don't have followers, perhaps you're not a good shepherd then. So the sheep hear his voice. And so as shepherd, you are to protect, you are to guide, you are to bring that flock to green pastures, to provide spiritual counsel when they need so that their soul be restored. I mean, God placed you in a particular church as shepherd to be his representatives. No wonder Paul says, be shepherds of God's church, which he bought with his own blood. And I think Jesus is the ultimate model. And Peter calls him the chief shepherd. Like he's the chief shepherd, so we're just shepherds, you know. But we have a chief commander, and that's Jesus Christ. For 3 years, Paul says, I warned these leaders of the dangers that they will encounter as shepherds of the church of God. Now, churches were led by these leaders. Leaders that we know today, they will either call them elders, they will call them overseers, or they would call them shepherds, but they were doing the same function. They were overseeing the affairs of the church of God. They were protecting it from danger. They were in charge of the spiritual health of the congregation. They were in charge of making sure that they were doing the right thing, that the church was walking in a manner that Christ wanted them to walk. I mean, this sermon is so important right now because it's going to go into the one we're going to do next week, because we're going to be dealing with churches. And you're going to realize as we go through the seven churches of Revelation that something drastic was happening in them. Perhaps the shepherds were not doing their job, because some of those churches we read in Revelation, they just abandoned the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Jesus himself has to write him a letter and say, hey, I hope Jesus never has to write us a letter. Because it might not be pretty, you know. So write us a letter and say, like, what happened to the love that you were... What? So that'll be next week, coming soon. But you see, in the meantime, as a Christian church, we have elders here. And it's not because they're older, but we look for experience in terms of, like, even the Word of God. Somebody that you see as leaders, that you have some problem, you can go to that particular individual and he can pray for you and guide you. You don't know something about the Bible, he can also guide you and appoint, tell you what to do. Overseeing, guardian the church of God, guard your life in the church of God. Be shepherds, like the good shepherd taught us. Now the leaders, elder shepherds, episcopals that we have, they're going to need a lot of prayer from you. A lot of prayer and support. Because this is not an easy thing to do. Remember, I always told you I never wanted to be a minister. I'd rather just come to church, sit down, and go home. I don't have to deal with anything else. But what if God didn't call me just to sit down? You know, and I didn't want that. You know, it still was like, tell me something else. Don't tell me that you're going to be like your dad, like as a minister, because I did not want it. Thank you, Lord, but like Moses, I told God, send somebody else. I don't want the job. But God had other plans, and now I'm willing to, because I realize whatever conflict we have, conflicts become opportunity for growth, and conflicts is a great thing when they come, because growth and more ministry will develop in a church. That's what I saw in the Bible. And you know, God, whatever problem we have, there's always a solution when we seek it. And God already has the plan for us to develop and find the answer to the problems, even in this world that we have. So we're going to need a lot of prayers and support. Elders are the leaders, the guardians, the shepherds of the church, and God will hold us, them, accountable in how we do our job as leaders in a church. I want to conclude with the words of Peter. That was Paul that we talked about, talking to the elders of the Ephesian church. You see, every church had elders. Today we have in our city, Marty and I always talk about that, we have found churches that they've been operating for 20-some years and you do not even find one elder in that church. That's really bad. Because Paul will last 3 years, and if you don't have elders, find somebody, train somebody to know what elders are supposed to do. But we have churches from our movement, apparently they don't believe in elders. And it's like, there's a lot of elders all over the place. Every church had elders. They were the preachers. The apostles would plant the church, and the elders would take care of that. I'm so privileged in our church, because when I go on vacation, I don't worry. Because I know you guys will be well taken care of. I mean, I'm not worried like, okay, I had to restart the church when I come back because they're going to create a mess. That doesn't even cross my mind. I mean, because I know that I know what they believe already. I know how they operate. And yeah, there has been times, there's been conflict when I was away. And it's got resolved for the glory of God. So, because the elders are continuing maturing and growing in Christ as well. That's what God calls all of us, elders or not, to grow into the image of Christ Jesus himself. So the words of Peter to... It's interesting. Peter is not just writing to a church. When you go to 1 Peter chapter 1, he's sending this letter to be read in all those churches. There's churches in Asia, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Bithynia, I think. So you can read that. Like, he's sending that letter to all those churches, and he wants to speak to the elders. And I want to conclude after I read this, and I pray that praise team is going to come. This is what Peter tells them. He says, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder. The Apostle Peter, I appeal to you as a fellow elder. A witness of Christ's suffering and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. The same word. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers. He used also the two words that we already dealt with today. Serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing. As God wants you to be, God wants you to be willing to serve Him in that function, in that capacity. Not greedy of money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you. Don't think you're elder because you're the boss. Don't be bossy. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, who's he talking about? Jesus. You will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Man, that's beautiful. You will receive it. Imagine you as leaders, the guy would say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. Now I'm going to put you in charge of more things. Come and enjoy. Those are the words that I want to hear in the years of ministry that the Lord had for me. Those are the words that I want to hear. Well done. I mean, even if people don't think I'm doing it, as long as God says, you did it, that's what really matters. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. Come now and enjoy the joy of your Savior. The crown of righteousness. You see, it's going to be reward on how we serve God as elders, how we serve God as ministry leaders, how we serve God, whatever God placed you to do in His church, in the body of Christ, you will be responsible. He's going to hold you accountable. What do you do with the talent that I gave you? Oh, you didn't have time? I mean, yes, He's going to hold all of us responsible. Some of us more than others, because if we're teaching and preaching, we're going to make sure that we're teaching the right thing, because they might be... The reward might be taken away from us because how we teach in the Word of God. So these are the elders, and today we be voting some of the elders that we have based on some of the numbers that you guys gave us. When we asked you for many weeks, give us suggestions, and we got it. And so today in the congregational meeting, we also be voting for elders and ministry leaders.